WTBQ. Hello, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And don't go anywhere, because we're talking about novels today. You know, it's summer. We want a good, juicy novel to just dive into and just forget our lives and go someplace and be adventurous and have fun. And, you know, there's nothing like, you know, getting into someone else's world and picking up that book and wanting to get back into it and see where it's at. And this is a book we have for you today. It is called The Countershaded Ibex. Now, that's a very interesting title, something you might not know anything about or what an Ibex is. I actually do, but many of us don't. And it's an interesting book. It's a very thrilling book. It's a very interesting book written by a writer who he's going to tell us about his life. He has a very interesting life, and he's going to also tell us about writing because he teaches writing. So anybody who's a budding novelist out there should also stay tuned. So readers, novelists, everybody listen to us today, because I'm going to welcome Andrew Warren to Shannon's Corner. How are you today, Andrew?
Hi, Shannon. Fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Now, this is a big book. This is a labor of love. This is a very adventurous book. This is a lot of work. There's no question about it, but it's an exciting amount of work. And this is kind of one of those, reminds me of Indiana Jones sort of thing. You know, it's an exciting novel. It goes all over the world. It studies Middle Eastern philosophies and Dead Sea Scrolls and goes to London, and it goes to, it's got Catholic stuff in it.
Rome.
So is this a religious book, basically? Is this kind of the thread in it, or is that just the background?
That's just the background. I thought I would weave in the conflict in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the adventure is front and center. At least I try to. Yeah.
Well, But for the, you know, for people now, the Middle East conflict is certainly a very interesting subject, much of a subject that here we obviously hear about all the time. Many people don't know as much about it. And if you've never been to Israel, and actually I've been to Israel, but if you've never been to Israel, you think it's just some small country that's not beautiful or interesting or people like us, but it's all of those things. It's beautiful, interesting, and many people like us. So you bring Israel into this in the Middle Eastern studies through your main character.
Yeah.
He is a, Max is his name.
Max Gilbert.
Yes,
yeah.
And he is a professor, and he studies Middle Eastern studies. Do you have that background as well? Did you take him after yourself?
No, I don't. No. It's a work of fiction. No, I just read up on it. I researched it, and I created him. I don't think he's very much like me.
Mm.
Well, maybe parts of him, I guess. He's insecurities. But other than that, I think he's his own man.
Okay, so he is a academic, and you are part of an academic. So in those things you have in common. Tell the listeners about your background, because you were raised in communist Romania.
Yeah.
You had a very interesting background. I get the feeling that you would have always loved to be a writer, but it wasn't that practical, so you studied engineering.
That's right.
So you've always wanted to be a writer, but you kind of got waylaid around. But did your background, which was tough, but certainly adventurous, did that bring you to even be a better writer?
Well, I was always a sort of a dreamy child, always daydreaming. My mother would always smack me over the head and say, wake up, this is the real world, don't leave it. And I tried to write when I was little, but the circumstances back in Romania were so dire. So I couldn't, and I needed to be more focused on survival. And it wasn't until about 20 years ago that I sort of, I think I had done enough to sort of make it possible for me to write, financially speaking. Writing is a labor of love. It's not a labor of money at all. So I just love doing it. And The Countershaded Ibex is my second novel. I wrote a novel prior to that, which I'm holding back until I see what's going to happen with The Countershaded Ibex. That is more autobiographical. That deals with life, life in Romania, immigration, the time that I spent before I came to America in France. I was with my mother in France for a couple of years, and there were very tough times then, and then coming to America. So I sort of capture that. I try to distance myself from the character, But I did write that novel, which is still in manuscript.
What is a countershaded ibex?
It's, as I heard you say, you do know what an ibex
is. I do.
It's a mountain goat. Mm-hmm. And a countershaded ibex is a mountain goat that lives exclusively in the Judean Hills. It's indigenous to that area. And it has this incredible capacity to disappear in plain sight, being that its coloration is identical to the one of the hills, the Judean Hills. You said you've been there, those rust-colored hills.
Mm-hmm.
And you could actually be looking at it and not see it, which is sort of a metaphor that runs through the entire novel. Look, things that we look at and not see. I think you know. Of course, there is a countershaded ibex method that Max follows in the pursuit of his treasure, of this treasure that he's searching.
Uh-huh. So that's where the title came from. But it's a very interesting title. Does it have like a hidden meaning here? I mean, of just being in the Judean Hills. I mean, what is it? Let's take it out of the Judean Hills and go into Italy and to Rome and the religious sort of meaning there. How do these two collide? How do they come together?
I'd be honest with you. When I started the novel, I had no idea where I was going. And it seemed, as I was writing, I met this wonderful person. She is a Catholic nun, and mm-hmm. I really liked her. And I wanted to introduce her in the novel. So I created this character of Rebecca Logan. And then, of course, the two of them became the Intrepid Travelers. And she sort of led me, her character led me to the Vatican and, of course, the upper echelons of the Vatican hierarchy. And so that's how, of course, I travel. I spent a lot of time at the Vatican mm-hmm. doing research. So it sort of played itself out. The novel sort of wrote itself in a way.
Mm-hmm. So you did all this research on your own. So this was, you went to these places. What is the copper scroll of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Because it's that plays a part in it.
The copper scroll is a scroll that was discovered back in 1952, along with all the other scrolls mm-hmm. that we now have. Most of them are in Jerusalem. This one scroll, the copper scroll, unlike all the others, is actually done on a pure sheet of copper, and it's now on display in Amman, Jordan, at the Archaeological Museum of Jordan. And it's fascinating, unlike all the others that are basically religious or deal with subjects of everyday life in Judea at that time in history. The copper scroll is just a listing of treasures, of great, incredible treasures, and those treasures have been estimated. This is all fact. It's been estimated to be in the trillions of dollars.
Wow.
So that is, and that treasure is still somewhere in the ground.
Oh, so this is part of the adventure here and getting to this. Did your background in Romania growing up, was it similar in any way to the conflict in the Middle East? Do you draw any comparison between those two?
I don't think so.
No?
I grew up in a authoritarian, dictatorial government without any freedoms, without much food, without a platform to view anybody's views, to present one's views. It was a dark time.
Yeah.
And I think the Middle East sort of operates on a different platform.
Yeah, no, I agree. But certainly conflict and understanding conflict and growing up in some sort of conflict, unlike here where we have had less personal conflict. You certainly understand conflict. You understand what it's like to have issues in the country that you live in and have them affect you in some way. So in that way, I think your background was very helpful. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about writing because this is what you do. This is what you teach. You're obviously very good at it. And I want to talk to our listeners about what they would do if they want to be a budding novelist. We'll be back. We're talking with novelist Andrew Warren, the Countershaded Ibex, and we'll be back in just a few on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thanks for joining us. And don't go anywhere, because we're talking with Andrew Warren, who has written a new book called The Countershaded Ibex, which is a very interesting book combining historical, biblical, and present-day political realities. And it's a very exciting thriller of a book, and it's obviously certainly very well written and very well done. And Andrew has a background in many things, including engineer. And then you decided, as we said earlier, you always knew you wanted to be a writer, and then went for more practical things, as most people do, which is not a bad thing to do. But then you came back to being an author. You teach writing. What would you give? What advice would you give someone who wants to sit out there and write that novel like you have? If you had to say one thing, and I'm sure you're asked this question all the time by your students, but what would be the one thing you would say to someone?
I think the most important thing in writing a long piece of fiction, as opposed to poetry or a short story, is incredible commitment. The discipline to sit down every day, whether you can think of something to write or not, and writing, even if whatever you're writing is up in the garbage, you still need to sit down and write. I normally sit down about 3-4 hours a day. Even if I sit and look out the window, I still want to keep that discipline going. I think that's essential in writing a long work of fiction. Yeah.
You kind of said earlier that you didn't really have this, it doesn't sound, at least like from what I can gather, this whole plan in mind of this book. It's not like you sat there and said, I know exactly where this book is going, and I know exactly what I want to do. Did you set out with an outline and say certain things that you knew, that you wanted it in Israel, that you wanted it around biblical and political realities? Did you have that set up, or did that take you there? When you started the novel, did it take you there?
It took me there. It was surprising to me. I set out writing a novel about sort of a middle-aged man, a historian, a brilliant man, but certainly not a man an adventurous man, and get him out there, which was sort of the kind of thing that I always dreamed of doing. So I try to marry that idea, that idea of an adventure in middle age, with the Copper Scroll, which was always so fascinating to me, that all this incredible treasure is somewhere in the ground, and it hasn't been found yet. It's been searched for by thousands of archaeologists since 1952, without success.
Are there other books around this, do you know?
Oh, yeah, there are. Not like this. There are books of nonfiction that deal with the Copper Scroll. Yeah.
Now, did you use those books for research, or did you just do it all by? I mean, obviously, you had to have some facts, but you went to Israel and you got facts there. Did you use? If a budding novelist is listening to us, how much other research do you use? You obviously have to make it real, and you have to. You can't lie, so you have to have some fact in there. But how much of that fact came from research, and how much of it came from traveling?
Quite a bit. I read a number of books written by archaeologists, firsthand viewers of the Copper Scroll, people who actually worked on digging it up back in the middle of mid-century, 1952. One was an Englishman by the name of John Allegro, who was actually the first man to translate the Copper Scroll. Mm-hmm. I read his book, and I read several other books, but I think that one, the John Allegro's book, was the one that I based most of my facts in my book of fiction on.
Mm. Have you thought about becoming an archaeologist and going and finding the treasures yourself?
I think I've had enough careers.
Well, it's almost enticing to go and get the treasures yourself, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's like,
that'd be great.
Yeah, no, that's like really a little bit hard to give up. So you've been to Israel. How come the biblical studies, where does that come in, and why Rome?
Well, Rome was was the background for the Vatican. Mm-hmm. Most of that part of the story takes place in the Vatican, and the Vatican also always fascinated me. The power, the wealth, the pump. It's a wonderful place. I fell in love with I had the great fortune of being given a special guide who took me to places in the Vatican that most tourists are not allowed to go. In fact, I got to see the library of the Vatican Library, which is an incredible place, and many other rooms that are not open to the general public. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think you could see that I presented the Vatican situation with great care and love.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's kind of been compared to Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code because of that. That how you went in there and did that. I don't know if you're working on another book, but would the next book be about that more so?
I'm finishing up a book on the academia, a comic novel on the academia. But after that, I have a terrific idea for writing a novel that picks up sort of where this one left off. Also, an adventure story, same two characters, Max Gilbert and Rebecca Logan, but it's going to take place in Spain. I'm not going to tell you anymore.
Okay, that's fair. Now, do you have any wonderful ideas, or have you been? Has anybody approached you to make a movie out of this?
Yes, a producer has approached me, and we're still in the sort of conversation stage. She would like an option on the book, but we haven't decided yet. But I've been told that the book would make a great movie.
Oh, absolutely!
I would love to see it.
Yes, of course. That would be wonderful. Then you can write the next one and the next one and the next one, and there's your career. And then maybe you can go and, you know, go to and get the Copper Scrolls yourself and get all the adventure and all the treasures and everything. That would be...
Actually, the Israel Tourist Office has approached me to organize a trip to Israel and to end the Vatican, and basically with me as the host, and take him take him to all these sites and explain to them, basically follow the plot of the book with a group of tourists who would like to follow me and follow the book through, you know, visually follow the locations that I've described in the book.
Well, that's exciting. Have you said yes to that?
Yeah,
now that sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Now that's wonderful. So you have a lot of opportunities that come out of this book. It's obviously was a lot of hard work. It was a labor of love, but it sounds like it's really going to pay off in the long run. It would be really exciting if you got the movie. Being a tour guide would be absolutely wonderful. So the advice to anyone is follow your dreams, because it can lead to wonderful places, and you're a great example of that, right?
Oh, totally. And it's never too late. I mean, some people say, well, I'm in my 30s, my 40s, too late to start writing. It's never too late, and there are all these great writing courses, workshops everywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend go and take one of these courses and let out your passions. I mean, I took a bunch of these workshops, and they're wonderful. They're very supportive, and the guide is usually the guy who runs the workshop is usually wonderful, and he loves to help students. I know.
Right.
So I would totally recommend that you do that.
So you teach at Fordham University and John Jay College, as well as at a senior center in the city.
Yes.
So you really share your knowledge with everyone, which is wonderful, because, and I know you said this, and it's a quote of mine that I always say, when you teach, you learn.
Yeah.
So certainly there's a lot that you can learn through teaching other people, and there's a lot we all can share. And what I really suggest everyone do is go and get the book. It's called The Countershaded Ibex. It is on Shannon's Corner, and your website is on Shannon's Corner, which is Andrew Eli Warren. But again, just go to Shannon's Corner through WTBQ, and there's a hot link to it. You can get the book at Amazon, and I guess everywhere books are sold, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today,
Shannon,
Andrew Warren.
Thank you so much.
That was a great interview. Thank you. And everybody, it's a terrific book, a great summer read. It's August. Get out there and read it, The Countershaded Ibex. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you, Andrew Warren, for joining us. And we have to wrap it up for today. But until next time, don't forget to make good choices.